"Mr. Thomas Ancred," said Troy, looking at the card in her hand. "My dear Catty, he's actually here on the spot." Catty, who had almost completed her vigorous canvas, laid down her brushes and said, "This is an answer to your telegram. He's come to badger you. Who is he?" "A son of Sir Henry Ancred's, I fancy. Isn't he a theatrical producer? I seem to remember seeing 'Produced by Thomas Ancred' on a cast of characters." "Yes, of course he is. That production of Macbeth we were talking about at the Unicorn. He was in the picture somewhere then. Look, there's Unicorn Theatre scribbled on the card. We'll have to ask him to dinner, Catty. There's not a train before 9. That'll mean opening another tin. What a bore."
"I don't see why he needs stay. There's a pub in the village, if he chooses to come on a fool's errand."
"I'll see what he's like. Aren't you going to take off that painting smock?" "I don't suppose so," Troy said vaguely, and walked up the path from her studio to her house. It was a cold afternoon. Naked trees rattled in the north wind, and leaden clouds hurried across the sky. "Suppose," Troy pretended, "I was to walk in and find it was Rory. Suppose he'd kept it a secret, and there he was, waiting in the library. He'd have lit the fire so that it should be there for us to meet by. His face would be looking like it did the first time he stood there, a bit white with excitement. Suppose—" She had a lively imagination, and she built up her fantasy quickly, warming her thoughts at it. So clear was her picture that it brought a physical reaction. Her heart knocked, her hand even trembled a little as she opened the library door. The man who stood before the unkindled hearth was tall and stooped a little. His hair, which had the appearance of floss, stood up thinly like a child's. He wore glasses and blinked behind them at Troy.
"Good afternoon," he said. "I'm Thomas Ancred, but of course you know that because of the card. I hope you don't mind my coming. I didn't really want to, but the family insisted."
He held out his hand, but didn't do anything with it when Troy took it, so that she was obliged to give it a slight squeeze and let it go. "The whole thing's silly," he said. "About Papa's portrait, I mean, of course. We call him Papa, you know. Some people think it sounds affected, but there it is. About Papa's portrait, I must tell you, they all got a great shock when your telegram came. They rang me up. They said you couldn't have understood, and I was to come and explain." Troy lit the fire. "Do sit down," she said. "You must be frozen. What did they think I hadn't understood?"
"Well, first of all, that it was an honour to paint Papa. I told them that it would have been the other way round, if anything, supposing you'd consented. Thank you, I will sit down. It's quite a long walk from the station, and I think I've blistered my heel. Do you mind if I have a look? I can feel through my sock, you know."
"Look away," said Troy.